Well, I may not do very well tonight. I sent Sister Alice in my verses, and for some reason, even on the top of my notes, I wrote Daniel chapter 4, but all along it's been Daniel chapter 3 that I was going to preach out of. So I don't know why I wrote that, but I actually got it right in my notes. At the top of it, it says Daniel chapter 4, but everything else is Daniel chapter 3. So I don't know what happened to me in a moment of, I hate math, and maybe it was just my protest against math brought to you by the numbers 3 and 4 tonight. I got it right, though, in here. We're going to look in Daniel chapter 3 if you want to begin to turn your Bibles there. But Bo Schembechler might be a cursed name for me to say. I won't mention the team that he coached for. It's the team up north. I don't want to be cast out of Xenia tonight. And I don't like much about that team, but he did write something when Ohio State began to catch up and be great and mighty as we are. They wrote in their locker room, "Those who stay will become champions." And I thought about that for us as Christians, those of us who remain faithful to the Lord, those of us who stay laid up for us as a crown of life, those who remain faithful in this pressure cooker, in this heat of the world we live in this time where the world wants us to go against our God and to worship their gods, those of us who stay will become champions. What he meant was those who go through the two-a-days, those who go through the broken bones and the losses, those who go through the hard times, if you just stay, eventually you'll become champions. Sadly for the team up north, it took them about 30 years to realize that again. But I want to look tonight in Daniel chapter 3. And I want to look at what we must do as Christians in order for us not only to be revived, but to stand for the word of God and for the will of God. What is it that we must do? What did these Hebrew children know? What did they do to stand in the face? It wasn't so much persecution for worshiping their God. It was persecution for not worshiping the gods of the world. And that's what we're seeing today in our world. Daniel chapter 3, we'll look in verse 1. If you're able, would you stand with me for the reading and honoring of God's word this evening? Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. So it's 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent to gather together the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Now I want you to move down with me, down to verse 4. Then a herald cried aloud to you, "It is commanded, O people, nations, and languages." So he says, everyone in the sound of what's about to be played, every person, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you're from, you must follow this command. And that when you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, I wish, does anybody know how to play the sackbut? It's kind of like this is where the Scottish people came in. The sackbut and the dulcimer, they're kind of like bagpipes. So this is where you find Scottish people in the Bible. Don't listen to that, it's not true. And all kinds of music. Now, I want you to know, this isn't like the kind of music like we just heard sang right there. This isn't "The King is Coming." This is like Club Babylon, all right? And I know some of this won't make sense to you. I'm not as worldly as I seem. I just didn't get saved till 20 years ago. This year, actually, I got saved until I was 22. So I know a lot that I shouldn't know. But these people, this isn't even like basic electric slide. Like, this is like the stanky leg music, all right? This is not... Some of y'all laugh. "Pastor Josh, I thought only my church was the thug people. There's some thugs in Zion too, isn't it? I thought only in Trotwood it was a thug. There's some thugs down here." They knew what the stanky leg was. When you saw them this morning when I said single ladies, they started doing this. We've been using guys' discipleship material. I'm throwing it away. I'm getting some new stuff from some spiritual people, y'all. Thugs just like us. Go back there. No, I feel welcomed and I feel more loved in the comfort of raggedy people like y'all. Remember we talked about being raggedy this morning? If you weren't here this morning, you don't understand, but you're raggedy. Now, verse 6, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, we're going to move over. We know these three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did not fall down. In verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in the rage and his fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, it is true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my God, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, he's going to listen. He says, the next time you hear that music, you better fall down and worship. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in verse 16, they answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of the hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto the king, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. Now watch what he's full of fury for. He's full of fury, not because they want to worship their God, but because they refuse to worship his God. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them in the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's working against himself there, isn't he? But these three men fall down, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and fall down into the midst of the fire. They're bound into the fiery furnace. But then the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered, and notice how God lets Nebuchadnezzar see it first. He says, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake, said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth. And they came hither. And they come out of this fire, we know, and they don't have any of their hair singed. They don't smell like smoke. Nothing is about fire has hurt them. You can't go to a campfire and not go home and have your clothes smell like campfire. And they are in this fire 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be, and they don't even smell like fire. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they see that Nebuchadnezzar says, bless their God, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree. Here's the pagan nature of Nebuchadnezzar. God doesn't need any help. He just proved that. He says, but I make a decree that every people, nation, and languages which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. It's not an admission that there's no other God, but he says, this is just the God that's the God over fire, basically. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Hopefully they got a raise too. I don't know, but I want to talk to you tonight about what are we going to do as the fire is turned up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask you today, help us. Lord, guide us in your word today in wisdom. Lord, allow us to see the truth of your word. In this pericope of scripture, Lord, we see a mighty miracle. But Father, I believe that by your hand today, we live in a world where the kings of this world are turning up the fire on Christians. How will we react, Lord? How will we stand as we're cast into the fiery furnace, bound, knowing that the only way we'll be able to overcome it is by that fourth person in the fire, the man, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray today that you would help us. Guide us and the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. And we ask it in prayer. You can be seated. No matter how hot the world's temperature gets, we will seek the grace and mercies of the Lord that will enable us to stand against evil. I want you to see tonight, what did they do? We want to see the will of the faithful, the will of the faithful. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so tempting to bow down to the gods of this world. The gods of this world, they don't care if you worship our God. They don't care that you're here on Sunday night as long as you worship their gods as well. The gods of sports, the gods of entertainment, praise and worship, false religion, non-biblical social platforms, the god of government, of social media. We are not being persecuted just yet in this country. That's Daniel chapter 6. But what we are seeing is that the fiery furnace is being turned up on us for believing and not worshiping the gods of the world. You think about the LGBTQ movement, LGBTQ, LMNOP. Keep adding letters. It's going to be all the whole alphabet. Eventually, we're going to offend everybody for everything, right? Abortion. You know, we're hate mongers for our stances, but did you know there are more non-professing Christians who are against homosexual marriage and who are against abortion than actual Christians? But only the evangelicals, they'll call us, only the Christians are actually being persecuted for it. The furnace is being turned up, friend. But we will not bow down to the gods of this world. We will remain faithful. The will of God is that we would be faithful. We are willingly going into the fire, saying we refuse to bow down to the golden image. And if that means that the fire has got to be turned up for us to go into it, we walk right into the fire, worshiping our God, and let God decide how he will deal with the world. We spend so much time trying to fight the world, and we spend so much time trying to fight against these false gods. We spend so much time talking about other religions or non-religions, and you know what the truth of the Word of God is? They didn't fight against that. They just said, no, we won't worship that, but we're going to continue to worship our God. As the world turns up the fire, you and I need to just worship our God more. We need to become better at how we serve him, how we love him, how we praise him. We need to stop worrying so much about what everybody else is doing and start worrying about what we're doing. I spent a lot of time at my dad's house this last month and a half, and my dad's a large man, and he has this little Yorkie, 6 pounds. My dad's name is Milton. He walks this Yorkie all through his neighborhood, and it looks ridiculous, you know? Here's this big old guy with this little 6-pound Yorkie, and he's, come on, Henry, come on. And the people in the neighborhood make fun of him. My dad doesn't know they make fun of him, but, like, I can see them pointing and laughing, like, look at the big guy with the little dog. And it's just, you know, my dad had a lot of traffic in and out of his house the last month or so, and Henry has been a very faithful dog. His will. He wants to go outside every time somebody comes into the garage. Everybody knows that Henry knows where his leash is, and he'll run to his leash, and Henry will let anybody walk him, but because he's there with my dad, and my dad's the one that walks him all the time, that's like dad's job. When he sees my dad cannot go down where Henry usually hangs out and not take Henry out, because he won't calm down. He'll keep hopping and jumping and running around until he takes him out, even if it's just for a brief moment, he won't. But the will of Henry is so strong, when everybody else was there, Henry said, you know what? I don't care who else is around. This is what we do. We walk. So we put Henry to the test, because my family and I spent several weeks there and several weekends. We have a 13-pound Bichon. Sometimes it goes to my secretary's house, but after she started having eggs from a boy bird, I didn't trust her with my animal anymore. Only you didn't read it if you were here this morning. So I told you, she must not have been very good vet tech. She used to babysit our dog, or dog sit our dog, I should say. And after that boy birds start having these eggs, I thought, no, she's not very good. We'll just take him with us. But we take him with us. And now My little dog, he goes down there, and he sees my dad coming, and he knows Henry's going to run to his leash, so now he runs to his leash. He says, this is his job. This is what we do. And so he hadn't been there a lot, but over the last month, he comes down there. So now when he walks in, my little dog, Gideon, and my dad's little dog, Henry, they both come running to him and jumping up and down, and until my dad takes them out, they say, this is what we do. My dog loves my daughters and my wife, but he doesn't care anything about them when it's time to walk. He doesn't care anything about me when it's time to walk. It's just time. He says, you know what their dogs are saying? They're saying, this is what we do. No matter who's around, no matter what's going on, no matter what other gods of the world, the god of snacks, the god of children, the god of water, the god of playful toys, no matter what's going on, we walk with milk when it's time to walk. And I ask you today, no matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on around you, are you excited just to walk with God? No matter what else is going around, no matter what's on TV, no matter who's on the ball field, no matter what's going on at work, no matter what's going on in your friendships, no matter what's going on in your kids' lives, no matter what's going on over here or over there, are you excited and say, no, I won't follow the gods of the world, but I'm going to walk with God. My will, you see, they said, we will not. They're literally saying our will is that we won't do anything but walk with God, even if it leads us into the midst of a fiery furnace. But then I want you to see the walk of the faithful. Look at verse 23 through 25, the walk of the faithful. They're bound and falling down. They're in the midst of the fire. And we see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fall down, or they fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. The world will try to shackle us. They'll try to shackle our biblical stances. They'll try to cast us down for the God we stand for when it's opposed to the world's gods. Really, here in America, whether you believe it or not, no one is crucifying, or I shouldn't say persecuting us for being here tonight. They could care less. If they think that we're crazy because they think we're just worshiping nothing, then they just think that and they drive by and they don't have to stop in and they just will go on about their business. But as soon as you show up at their door, or as soon as you make a stance for God, then they begin to turn up the heat. However, with the power of God who is in us, we will walk in righteousness and not in worldly foolishness. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, that you have this round view, this view all around, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Notice that nothing burned on the Hebrew children except the shackles they were bound by. As you walk with the Lord, no matter how hot they make the furnace for us, nothing will be caught on fire except for the shackles that you are bound by. God has lifted the heavy burden through the cross and the blood of Jesus so that we are able to stand and walk in the paths of righteousness, even so much that he prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. God says, go ahead, as they've turned up the fire, I still have something glorious for you right in front of them. This is why when you come to church, you better be hungry. You better be ready to eat. When Pastor Josh and Pastor Braden and Pastor Alex and Pastor Ty and all these men and Brother Cam and all these guys come and preach and teach the Word of God in your ladies' classes, you better be ready to eat. You better have an appetite, because when you come in here, this is the safe zone. This is the place where the outside world, largely, they could care less what you're doing in here, but this is the training grounds. This is the boot camp to take what you're getting here back out into the fiery furnace. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had inside of them the word of God and the will of God. And so they were able to walk with God. And when it came time and they said, you got to go worship this golden image, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. They said, we will not, because we know what God says. And even if we should die in the midst of that, we'd rather go down dying with Jesus, dying with God, rather than worshiping this false image of the world. I wonder how many of you are prepared today to walk directly into the midst of the fiery furnace, bound and cast down into the midst of it, knowing that even if you should perish on this side, that on other side there be great reward for you. They try to shackle our freedom of speech, and they try to shackle our religious freedoms. They try to bound us and throw us down, not because we believe in God, but because we refuse to walk in their ways. I've done, I don't even know, 50 or 60 marriages, and never once has anyone ever been mad. Never once has anyone argued against that. I've not faced this in my life, in my ministry, but perhaps with my age and if time would go on, Pastor Josh and I both, at some point, someone's going to come to us and want us to perform a same-sex marriage. And no one's ever been mad at me for marrying. Sometimes, you know, you marry a boy and a girl and you don't think the guy's good enough for the girl in your church. And you're like, I don't really want to marry them. And you go through premarital counseling, you're still like, I'm not feeling it, bro. You know, he's not really good enough for you. And like, I'm being serious. There's been times where I told the young lady, are you sure? When we do premarital counseling, I always send my wife, and the goal is that my wife is like, I talk to the guy, but my wife, like the last out, like, all right, sweetheart, are you 100% sure? Him. And my wife will have a little inside information, and if I don't really feel the guy, I'm like, can you try to see if maybe you can find something that, you know, maybe we could get her to break up with this guy? Like, is there anything? You think I'm kidding? I'm serious. Because I'd rather them not get married than get married and get divorced. See, you got to understand something about me. I'm not afraid to say things that aren't politically correct or don't sound right. But think about what I just said. Would you rather them not get married, or would you rather them get married and divorce 5 years later? I'd rather flesh it all out before we ever get to the saying the I do's. Because sometimes there's pressure to it. We've been engaged so long. We just have to do it. We just have to make sure our whole family is expecting that we're going to get married. And dad's already paid for all the wedding and everything's got and bought. We've already asked all of our bridal party and we just have to get there. And then you be miserable. Then you see them. You know, some of them are you. They become the church. They're just miserable. Like, still married to her. Daggone it. I'm just kind of guy. I'd rather just go ahead and figure it out. Let's just deal with it now. Let's just find out, or because they'll say, the Beatles are wrong. All you need is love is a lie. You're going to need some patience. Well, how much time you got? Can we preach on the fruit of the Spirit? That's what you're going to need to be married. This is my 20th year of marriage. And I told you this morning, I did have an afro when I got married. And you see, it's all gone. Now, most of that's not my wife. Most of that's the children, but will you refuse to walk in the way of the world? Will you walk faithfully with the Lord? When you bring it all together, you look at someone and you say, you know, they're going to come to us someday. They're not mad because I'm marrying boys and girls, even if we think that they're not the best boy and girl to get married. They don't care about that. But someday, if they come to me and say, could you marry this same-sex couple? And I say no, then the persecution, then the fire will be turned up. And I'll have a decision to make. See, most Christians, whether you think you are or not, we're not faced with many decisions every day of whether we'll follow the Lord or not. In this country, at this current moment, regardless of how the furnace is being turned up, and it is being turned up, especially in this part of our country, it isn't so hot that normally you can't do what you want to do. We walked outside the other day. We were door knocking on Thursday, and I knocked on the door of a lady, and she came to the door, and I said, hey, we want to invite you to our one-day revival. And she said, well, I'm one of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I said, oh, really? So that's interesting. I said, did he tell you that himself? And she kind of looked at me, and I was like, well, did the Lord tell you that you're one of his witnesses himself? And she's like, no. I was like, well, then how do you know? And she's like, well, I'm actually on a Zoom call with some other witnesses right now. I said, could I get on the Zoom call with you? She wasn't about to have that at all. She's like, no, like you can't come in here. I'm like, well, I'm ready. Boy, if I ever get to get on one of them calls, I don't have to enter into Kingdom Hall, but I can just be on a Zoom call with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Boy, I will be preaching down fire from heaven. I will be on there. I'll be like, where do y'all want to start at? Romans 1 sounds good. You know what I mean? She didn't invite me in. She didn't invite me in. I don't know. I tried. And my wife was right beside me. I said, honey, I said, you got time? Let's go in here. And my wife was looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, hey, this is a great opportunity. But she didn't let me in. She didn't persecute me. She just told me no. A lot of times, Christians, we think because somebody told us no, they're persecuting us. They rejected me. I gave them the gospel. That's not persecution. That's just rejection. And they didn't reject you. They rejected Jesus. But the real fiery furnace, see, they didn't get put into the fiery furnace for worshiping God or for doing what they wanted to do. They got put in there for saying, no, no, we won't worship the gods of the world. Some of you kids in here, they're going to say, well, you have to come to practice on Sunday. If you don't come to practice on Sunday, you won't play. Will you say no? I got caught up in that when my kids were young. And as I got older and as I grew more spiritual, I realized I don't really care. I have an older son that probably could have played college basketball, but we made a decision, no. He's not going to miss church to go to basketball. He's not going to play all over the country. He's not going to do this. He can do a lot of great things with the ball in his hand, but I know this, none of those things were going to be greater than what he can do for the Lord. Amen. You're going to have to make a decision. When you come to those decisions and you say no, that's when the persecution comes. I've not been a pastor that long, but it's amazing to me. 5.5 years of pastoring and founding Assurance Baptist Church, I've not had five hard things to deal with. I have been super blessed. No big fractures or anything hard like that. COVID happened when we were 1 year old, and we got free building out of that deal and some people. So I know COVID was a bad thing, but for our church, it was a building thing. But I've not really had a lot of hard things happen. I've not had a lot of times where somebody has come to me and been upset. But you know, the one thing that people get upset about, not in my church, but around our church, that is something that they will try to get us for. And it's interesting to me because it really has nothing to do with them. But where our church is located, it is out kind of on a country plot, 3 acres, and around us is just residential area, and they've rezoned it to industrial. And now the city wants to try to box us in because they don't want our building to be there. They want to be able to knock it down and make it industrial things because we don't pay taxes to them, right? Because we're a nonprofit organization. And so they would rather us just go away. And so the city is putting a little pressure on me, but you just got to kind of understand who I am. I love it. I love it. I'm not looking for a fight, but they're coming against the house of God. That building's been there since 1962. And I show up at the council meetings and they're like, Pastor Bryson, have you decided whether or not you guys would sell or whether you guys, oh no, we're going to stay there. I fully intend on when I'm 116 years old, we'll still be there and I'll still be the pastor. And they're looking at me like I'm absolutely crazy. No. And they'll try to put a little pressure in there. Like, we zoned around. All of your neighbors are saying they're going to sell these condos and they're going to make this whole strip nothing but industrial and warehouses. And I said, well, that's great. I said, that'd be more people for us to witness to as they go in and out of their jobs in the warehouses. And they can't stand me right now. Took us 6 months to get a $42 permit to get a shed because they just want to deal with me that way. But they have no idea. They should ask my wife how stubborn I can be. I just stand there. I'm like, okay, the building's ours. There's nothing you can do about it. They would have to try to bring all their forces, all the king's horses and all the king's men. And guess what? It ain't going to work because we're going to be standing there. Now, I'm not violent, but I just want you to know a country boy can survive. We got a couple of guns and a four-wheel drive. And if they come against us, they're going to have more than they bargained for. I'm just saying. And so I do all kinds of little things that bother them. You know, churches aren't supposed to put certain things out front of their yard or do certain things. And so there's a lot next door to us that's empty. And I know they're all too lazy to do anything about it. So I just put the signs in those yards and I put them all around there. They don't know I did it. I did it at nighttime. You know what I'm talking about? They got no idea. I'm like, here, vote no on this. Vote no. Vote yes on that. They're all around. They're not on the church's property and they drive through there. They're probably like, I wonder who did that. I don't know. Trotwood, snitches get stitches. I ain't going to tell them. You know what I mean? But I love it. You can come against me. You can try to get it. But we're going to stand for God, and we're going to be here. You're not going to get rid of this church, this temple, this building, because you want to put some warehouse on it. No, we're standing there, and as a pillar of the community and as a lighthouse to Northern Montgomery County, we're going to stay right there until God tells us to leave. We're not going to leave when you tell us to leave. It's going to come against you. The fire, oh, they're trying to turn the fire up on me. They're, oh, well, you know, if you guys don't move, it's really going to be hurting the community. And I say, how? We don't have very many people that actually live in Trotwood. They come from all over the place, seven different counties. They come into your community and buy things, and they come in here, they're paying taxes into your community, into sales tax and all these different things. How is it bothering you at all? It's not. You just want us gone because it's not what you want there. But I won't bow down. Don't you bow down to the gods of this world. No matter how hot it gets, you just walk. If you have to, walk right into the midst of the fiery furnace, believing and knowing that Jesus will be right in the midst of the fire with you. Amen. Number three, I want you to see the winning of the faithful. Look at verses 27 through 30, the winning of the faithful. The Bible says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. But we see here in verses 27 through 30 what happens, the winning. And the princes and governors and captains and kings, counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. God's going to bring all the enemies, all those who were against us, and bring them right there and let them see the glory of God. And then we see in verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Do you know that someday, in the sight of all of God's enemies, for the saved bride of Christ, those who have believed and trusted the Lord and be baptized and have been obedient in that, that someday, in the presence of all God's enemies, God is going to adorn you as his bride in front of everybody, and you're going to rule and reign with him, and you have a horse in heaven, and it's just waiting to come out of the gates. And someday, after the rapture and after the tribulation and after the battle of Armageddon, and when the Lord comes down and he takes his rightful place on the seat of his father David in Jerusalem, and he sits upon that throne, and we that are ruling and reigning with him there in the midst of all of his enemy with a rod of iron, God is going to say, today you're going to bow down and worship my son. As hot as it was for them on earth, as hot as you had turned up the fire, he's going to make all people have to look and see that you and I, who walked with God, that we are the winners with God. It's complete victory. The best part of victory is when the other side has to admit defeat. I love basketball, and I love watching March Madness. And one of the only parts about March Madness that I don't like, the older I get, is seeing young people my children's ages who've been devastated. It's a game, but they've worked so hard and they've been there. And at the end, the losing team has to go through and shake the hands of the winning team. And what a devastating moment that is, that there's a team that's all joyful and they've won and they're excited and they're yelling and screaming, especially those last second shots that just rip through your heart. And here's another dejected team with their heads down and crying and sulking, seniors who will never play for that team again, and they have to walk through and in good sportsmanship shake the hands of the victors. But then there's the other side, the side we like to be on. See, sometimes you see those people go through the lines and they're dejected. And sometimes every once in a while, there's a little fracas in those handshaking lines. But the victors, they're going through smiling. Great game. Great game. Great game. Yeah, good job, buddy. Yeah, good job. You know, rest assured that in the handshaking lines of the righteous and the wicked, we are on the winning side. And that when we go through the line, oh, I'm not happy that there'll be people there with bowed heads. But the word of God says Their heads just won't be bowed. Their knees will be bowed too. Because even though they won't have the victory, they'll have to recognize who the winner is. This time in our world, in our lives, the furnace is being turned up. It's so hot. It's harsh against us. But every time we say no, it gets turned up a little bit hotter. Every time there's a vote that goes the way of what Bible-believing Christians would want in government, it gets turned up a little hotter. But I call upon you today. If I was going to alliterate the rest of this message and give anything else, I could have used some U's. But I want you to take these things and I'm finished. I want you to see that the Hebrew children were united. Every time you see it, it says we. How many times did it say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They stayed unified. They stayed together. Christian, we must stay together in this fiery furnace. We must be unified. We can't have brother against brother. We have to be forgiving one another. We can't have spats inside of our churches, inside of our true Bible-believing Christianity, because it's not worth it. We've got to stay unified in this casting into the fiery furnace. I was going to give you another you. I would tell you that we must remain unique. There was something different about these three men. They were already in a promoted position, but in following the Lord, they actually are promoted higher. Trust this, God will reward those whom he's going to reward. God will have vengeance on those he's going to have vengeance on. But if you remain faithful to the Lord, you unique, peculiar generation, this royal priesthood, God will come through for you and I. And then I want you to understand this. We would call it a Christophany, some would. Some would say that it's the angel of the Lord. And I won't argue with you who the fourth person is in the fire, but it's certainly a supernatural divine appearance walking there. So I want you to think about this for a moment. It's an unidentified. There is an unidentified, we know who it is, but you can't see it, but providence with us all the time. And we know that it's the Holy Spirit. And the world doesn't know that, but in every battle, every time they've turned up the heat, every time the fiery furnace is hot, know that the Holy Spirit of God reigning in you is upon you, and he's there, and that he has the power to shut the jaws of lions, to go into the midst of the fire and supernaturally make the fire not burn. The fire didn't get turned down. The fire was still flaming, but the God who created fire went into the middle, and like Jesus said to the wind, peace be still, he went into the fire and just said, fire, you're not allowed to hurt these boys. You can blaze on as hot as you want to be. There's no physical evidence the fire did. Actually, the physical evidence says that when they sent the guards forth that they got burned up, but the fire was still raging just as hot. But in the midst of that fire, the power of God said, you're not allowed to hurt these. And let me assure you today that in our walk with Christ, if you'll say no to the world's gods and follow him, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ has sent unto us a comforter named the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will walk right into the midst of those fires with you, and they'll be unable to harm you. And as the Hebrew children said, even if the fire is able to harm us, we still will not fall down and worship your image, because they understood in faith that whatever God was sending them into, he was able to deliver them out of. So tonight I ask you, heads bowed, eyes closed, I ask you, who will it be today? Who will do the will of the faithful? Who will do the walk of the faithful? Who will understand that there's a winning of the faithful? Who would today say, I'm casting away all the idols. I'm getting rid of all the images of the world, all the gods of the world, and I'll only serve the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and him alone. Whoever it is today that says that, let's make a stand tonight. Would you make a public stand as those Hebrew children did? They didn't say it quietly. They said it out loud. Would you come to the altar tonight? Would you flood this place right now? Get out of your seat. Come on, to the faithful, some of you leaders in the church, some of you folks who have been struggling with that, would you get out of your seats right now and say, we will not, you, no matter how hot the fire gets, no matter how high they turn it up, we will not. Who would come and make a stand for the Lord tonight?